Fast and Furious Part 7 is faster and more furious. I just found out on Facebook that my ex-girlfriend got married. Jordan Spieth is a master at golf. This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow! A perfect score. 10.2.
He hacked it to 2-0, now to 2-1. Line drive!
Hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Best intro music of all time, thanks to Julia Harrison, a.k.a. Carol, a.k.a. Julia. Julia's live with us today. Say hi, Julia.
Hey, guys.
That's not your real voice. I don't know what's happening.
Hi, guys.
Oh, that's better.
Thank you.
That seems like, that's like a, I just rolled out of bed. Hello. You guys, Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family, we've got a fantastic episode today. It is episode 83, hasn't been titled. Because we haven't done it. We've got this amazing guest in the studio today. She is a very knowledgeable athlete, sports fan, actress, and lover of softball. Please welcome Sarah McLean.
Thank you.
Yay. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
And this is my just rolled out of voice. Rolled out of bed voice.
Rolled out of bed voice. Yeah. Apparently, I'm the only one that chugged coffee. We've got Aaron, All Things Comedy, studio engineer, all-around craftsman. Aaron, what's your title? He's wearing a St. Louis Cardinals hat just to taunt me.
Sorry.
We will talk about my fantasy baseball problem. Basically, every week until the season's going to go over, I'm going to be talking about my meltdown with fantasy. Sarah, have you ever played fantasy anything?
God, no.
So you're smart and you've learned from other people that have breakdowns?
It's just too much time.
Yeah.
I don't have that time. And then I think I'd emailed you this. I was talking to a friend of mine who said that you can sign your contracts with players in his league and
yeah,
all this stuff.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. I think it's a commitment. Like you're...
Oh, it's a commitment,
it's,
Sarah.
I think it's,
I barely got here.
Yeah. Like if you just stop doing the league, then someone takes over your team. And if you... Yeah, I don't know. I was having trouble following it.
I'm having trouble following it because I didn't realize that you could... There's so many different, you know, types of leagues, right? So I'm in what they call like a keeper league.
Yeah,
where,
I think he is too. He kept using that word. I don't know what that means, but he used
basically
it.
Basically what it means is you're totally effed if you just join the league because everyone keeps the best players.
Right.
So, but you know, you got to start somewhere, whatever. It's not like, I don't know if I'll ever do it again. I mean, I say I'm never going to do it again, but I think we all know it probably will happen. But the crazy thing is, so you have three, I should probably turn my own phone off. I had 3 weeks, 25 player draft, and it about killed me. Because at the end of the day, like my new running joke is, no one needs to know the fifth starter of the Houston Astros. It's Roberto Hernandez.
He spent, because he was doing this at work yesterday, most of our shift together looking up AAA pitchers that he might need to acquire.
Okay, so I feel better. First of all, I just feel better that you're here talking me down from fantasy baseball. All right. But yeah, that's the thing.
It's a gateway drug.
It is it's a gateway drug. Because
just
then,
say no.
Aaron, I can't say no. I guess here's why I started playing it. Because, first of all, I'm the only woman in the league. My team is Rockford Peaches. You'll appreciate that.
Yes, of course.
Greatest movie of all time. If you don't know the reference, Rockford Peaches, kill yourself. Just kidding. It's Thursday
then
morning.
Then you are not a sports fan.
Then you are not. I mean, it's a league of their own. Julia, did you know that?
I saw that in the theater.
Oh, good. See, come on. And Julie isn't even like a big sports fan if she saw it in the theater. It's one of the greatest acting ensemble movies of all time, besides just having to do with sports.
Dare I say Madonna's finest acting?
Yeah, you don't. You can say it's her finest acting.
Because she was just herself.
She was just herself. Evita, I thought she did a good job on Evita. Suddenly it's turned into a cabaret podcast. You guys, let's go over Madonna's career. Did she just make out with Drake?
She just did. Yeah.
What was that sloppy? What
it
was happening?
He
was
like not a pleased. Molestation.
Really? You don't think it was planned? Everyone on this panel just threw up in their mouths, so probably not.
Is he that good of an actor? Because he looked like he didn't know it was happening.
Really? I have to go back and Google this. That's all I've heard is like Drake
Somebody
and Madonna.
Somebody had posted a little gif of that. So I saw it in succession, a 3-second disgusting display over and over because I'm sadistic. But I'll post it to the Facebook page.
All right, good. Post it to the Facebook page. By the way, we have a Facebook page and some sort of online presence because of Julia. Sarah, I don't know if I told you this before, but my fact checker, a long-term fact checker, long-term meaning, I don't know, since I've started doing this podcast maybe last year, is Carol.
The drunk poker player.
The drunk poker. All right, yeah. So you have been listening. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Carol, you know, she's right there. You can see her on the couch again. She was on the wagon, off the wagon, and now... I don't know if I even told you this, Julia. She has been chugging Tylenol PM during the day because she thinks it's fun. She's right, and she got a pony. So she's late because she's always on a pony, and now she's on the couch sleeping during the day with Tylenol PM. Carol!
I saw her earlier. I'm telling you, it's my alter ego, you know, so whenever I get out of body experience, it's
with Carol.
I blame it on Carol.
So is she up to a bottle a day? Because you kind of get used to...
Well, I don't know. She has a sweet elixir. Okay. The other day she mumbled when she was trying to fact-checking something for me. It goes well with lemonade. And then just right back out on the couch. All right, softball. A League of Their Own. We're going to take many tangents. Obviously the greatest movie of all time. Mm-hmm. Dare you say, you said it, Madonna's finest acting experience. So I'm the only woman in the league, and I think it's a lot of pressure. You know, you want to be like, you know, you have to like, you know, I'm taking on of all the pressure of womankind, obviously. But
we're counting on you.
Everyone's counting on me. I mean, women that are in North Korea that can't play fantasy.
That don't even know what baseball is.
We have women that have just, you know, made better decisions with their time. They're counting on me. It's a lot of pressure. But here's where it gets a little crazy and insane. I found out this week when you were saying like the contract stuff that you can add drop players 3 times per week. So legitimately, like, if someone's just not doing well, you can just drop them.
The same player?
You can drop a player. Then there's a tab of the pool of players you can pick up. But then you have to realize that someone else could grab them immediately. So right now it's week 2. And I've worked myself into a frenzy. I've already ad dropped 2 people this week. But one of them was hurt. So you can literally like spend, when you're talking about a time suckage, I could spend hours a day looking at lineups of being like, okay, this guy's hits better against like a left-handed pitcher. Let me add him this game, drop him, like, forget, like, I can't.
Or you could just watch baseball and enjoy it.
It's too late, Sarah. It's too late to enjoy. It's too late to enjoy the season.
Do you have the spreadsheets?
I don't even know. Oh, no, I didn't bring the spreadsheets. Aaron, I don't even know if you know this. I picked up A-Rod.
No.
I sold. And you know who's doing the best for me right now? Effing A-Rod.
Oof.
Yeah. Here's where I need to calm down. I have 3 players that have minor injuries. I have Michael Brantley, my big hitter for the Cleveland Indians, yet to even be in a game because he's got like his back hurts. You know whose back hurts? Everybody. Everybody's back hurts every single day. Get on the fucking field. I need you to hit.
I don't get out of bed without stretching
right?
my back. I can't.
We're former athletes.
Yeah, I have the body of an
80-year-old. We played softball in Rhode Island. We have bodies of 80-year-olds. How do you think I made it here? I popped some aspirin and I did a little stretching. Michael Brantley, Devin Marasco, catcher for the... Cincinnati Reds.
Messeraco.
That's what I said, Aaron.
Cool.
He's got some sort of flu, knee, lower back. Get out there, Devin. What did I say? What did I say his name was? I don't know. I just blanked out.
Is baseball that demanding now that they can't play? Because, I mean, just think about Lou Gehrig and back in the day. They just play it all the time.
They play it all the time. And as Richard Foley, my father, likes to scream at the television, he goes, I can't believe pitchers come in to face one batter. In my day, I'm like, oh,
sometimes
wait for
it. Sometimes one pitch.
Yeah, one pitch.
Yeah.
He's like, in my day, because I just, it's so fun when anybody says in my day. I'm going to start saying in my day because I feel 80. Did I mention that my ex-girlfriend just got married and my tooth fell out
not
last
at
month?
All.
Okay. That, you know, a pitcher would start the game and he'd be like, then my dad screams out, and he'd finish the game. And I don't care if his arm would fall
and
off.
Then pitch the doubleheader.
Yeah. And we've got people coming in for pitching and then they can't take the field and just DH. You can't swing a bat four times because your lower back hurts? Get out there.
It's ridiculous.
I'm so angry right now. I'm not angry. I'm slightly hungover. Not really. Okay, sort of. Sarah and I both grew up in Rhode Island. Well, I moved there when I was 12. You grew up there. Did
yes.
you grow up there the whole time?
I did a short stint in North Carolina when I was 3.
Stop bragging.
Because my dad was in the Navy.
Okay.
Otherwise, yes.
Rhode Island. Portsmouth. You played softball for Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
Fast pitch. Let's talk fast pitch, low pitch.
Let's.
You were fast pitch.
Yeah.
It's glorious.
Yes.
I was slow pitch. Senior
yeah.
citizen ball. It's the worst. I mean, it changes the game.
Well, especially when you're in high school and it's not a beer league. It's just
yeah.
slow pitch.
You're right. Slow pitch is a beer league.
Yeah.
That's so lame.
Because when I got to the point where I couldn't play fast pitch because if you don't have a pitcher, you don't really have a team, then it was just like, all right, I guess I'll play slow pitch to kind of stay in shape.
Oh, you mean like after?
After college.
After college.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's stupid. You can like, yeah. you can literally like, if we had smartphones when I was in high school in 1912, like you could have just be checking your phone. That's how slow that freaking
yeah.
game was. So I was in Connecticut. I was in New York, and then we moved to Connecticut for a chunk of time. And I played in the town I was in Connecticut was like crazy about softball, right? So it was fast pitch, and I pitched, and I had a tire in the back of my in my lawn that my dad, you know, set up between two trees, and I would do windmill into the tire. I was obsessed. Then we moved to Rhode Island when I was in seventh grade, and my mom, as she should be, was a crazy academic, and she was like, no, we're going to go to South Kingstown because that's the best school, public school academically. And my dad was like, no, let's go to Narragansett because they have fast pitch.
Very good team.
And we wound up choosing the books, and I suffered. Because how do you go from going from fast pitch to slow pitch is the worst. And I couldn't, I was like, I'm not going to pitch that freaking arc thing.
In fast pitch, I couldn't even hit a changeup. I was so used to the fast pitch.
Yeah.
So then just going from fast pitch to slow pitch was even worse. I'm like, I can't hit a changeup in fast pitch. How am I going to hit slow pitch?
Tell everybody what a changeup is.
A changeup is when the ball goes at a slower speed than a normal fastball.
So you and it looks like a fastball.
Yeah. So you're fooled and you swing way too early.
It's the most embarrassing moment when you swing and the ball hasn't even reached the catcher's mitt. Let me tell you this. Never saw a changeup because I saw a moon ball coming at me in the speed of 0.008 miles an hour. And it was just the point where you could steal, where like all these exciting things.
You could steal in slow pitch?
No. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
okay,
it was like, I remember that there was this thing like in fifth and sixth grade. And then when I moved, when we were like going into junior high, then you got uniforms with your name on the back. And that was just like gym. Like this was the stuff that excited me. How that I did not know I was gay is beyond me. But anyway, I say that every podcast. But like all exciting things like stealing and then you could like move, then you could start doing into like windmill and all this stuff. And then Rhode Island slow pitch. Kill me. How was Portsmouth good? Were you guys good?
We were. When I was there my freshman year, we made it to the finals. We lost to Barrington.
Oh, I hate Barrington.
Yeah, I think we had to beat them twice. And I don't know if we won the first and then lost or if we lost both, but I don't know. It was close. I remember Kelly Malloy.
Malloy was the worst.
Yeah. Well, she was like such a big girl, not like heavy, just big. And
yeah.
So powerful. I got hit by a pitch in my arm and like I had the seams and everything.
Oh my God. Well, she was a pitcher?
Yeah. And here I was, this little 14-year-old. I was like, oh my God.
So intimidating.
Yeah.
But you obviously were really good if you were playing as a freshman.
Yeah, I started all 4 years.
Nice. High five. That's fantastic. I started 3 out of the 4. Junior, I got bored and I played volleyball, which probably wasn't the best move because I'd get so excited to block people that I'd fly into the net, and then my nickname was Fish. So embarrassing. That was a good highlight. We won, I don't want to brag, we won South Kingstown State Champs freshman year. I played left field. Best friend Becky Hayes played second base. We were the only freshmen, both now ironically the only gays. And we won the whole thing, but it was like Class C. We were good for the worst rung.
Well, fast pitch, we only had one division. Okay. It was just north, south, east, west.
As it should be.
Yeah, the subdivisions. And then at some point when I went off to college and when I came back to coach, then there was at least a Division I and Division II.
Oh, there was. Yeah. All right. So what was Portsmouth like main enemy Barrington?
Probably Middletown, because they were just
right
south
there.
Of us. Yeah.
It's a beautiful area, by the way, of the country.
It's wonderful.
Upstate Rhode Island. Oh, God. That's just funny for Rhode Islanders.
Well, technically, I was on Rhode Island, the island. I'm actually from Rhode Island.
Wow.
The rest of it is Providence Plantations.
It's still the longest state name, Rhode Island and Providence. Rhode Island and the state of Providence Plantations, or the
state
Providence
of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Which
it's a good trivia.
Voters voted down changing it or getting rid of Providence Plantations. That was on the ballot to get rid of it because of the connotations of slavery. And Rhode Island's like, no, we want to keep that.
No, I didn't even think of slavery connotations. I just thought it was great because it's the smallest state with the longest name.
Yeah.
So, you know, just for every listener out there, it was just for trivia. Oh, yeah, I honestly didn't even think of that. Well, let's pretend that they voted it down just for trivia. But yeah, Rhode Island, hotbed of softball. Okay, so then you play in college. Where did you go to college?
University of Southern Maine in Portland.
Beautiful. God, Maine and Rhode Island, I miss New England. And what was that like? What was it like playing college ball?
It was good. I mean, we were Division III, but it was competitive Division III.
Yeah.
So our rivals there were Western Connecticut. That was kind of like the Red Sox-Yankees.
Oh, God, rivalry. I can't wait to talk about the Red Sox-Yankees.
Yeah. So we made the playoffs, I think, almost every year except one, and it might have been my senior year.
Did Kelly Malloy pitch for Western Connecticut?
No, she didn't. That was, I can't remember her name, but then there was that first baseman who always do, or shortstop would always do the slap over the first baseman's head.
That's the most annoying play.
Yeah.
Doesn't it have to bounce? Doesn't it bounce and then go over her freaking head? Isn't it the slap, you know what I mean?
No, it's the running slap.
Oh, it's the running slap where they're halfway up the first baseline?
Yeah.
Like Suzuki?
Yes.
Like Ichiro? Yeah. No one calls him Suzuki.
No, it's Ichiro.
Aaron, I just said Suzuki, and I don't even remember what Mesoraco's name was, and he's my starting catcher. Listen, if you're at a restaurant called The District in West Hollywood, get the District Mule. I had 3 of them last night, and I went home on a mule. If you buy 3, you get a free mule. Just made that up. That's why I might be a little bit slower than my normal, although I feel like I'm doing a really good job considering the circumstances. Has anyone gone on Facebook and seen their ex-girlfriend get married? Okay, and we're back. Everything's going to be fine. It's totally fine. We just broke up a year and a half ago, and she said she never wanted to get married. So here's the point, Sarah. You're playing softball. Can you imagine if I just spun out and had a nervous breakdown on air and be like, wait, I thought this was about sports. And I was like, you guys, there was this time we spent this long weekend. And then I just like, everyone's like, wrap it up, Foley.
Is that not what's happening right now?
Technically, yes, it is happening right now, okay. But I'm going to wrap it up quicker. Portsmouth to Southern Maine. Give me a highlight. How competitive was it? I think women playing anything gets competitive. I was insanely competitive. I was on the world's worst college basketball team, and I was insanely competitive.
It was very competitive. It was Division III, so no one had scholarships.
Yeah.
But no one was there because their parents were making them play. So
yeah.
People wanted to be there,
yeah.
Which made me happy because I'm like, I'm fucking here to win.
Yeah.
And to do my best. If we don't win, fine, but I want to win.
Yeah. Did you have a temper? We're going to lead into this web series that you created that everyone needs to watch.
I can neither confirm nor deny
that. So you had a horrible temper. Did you ever get into a fight? Screaming matches?
No, usually it was this. My glove would go in front of my face.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how you knew I was just swearing nonstop behind it.
And what position did you play?
Shortstop.
Nice. Killer arm. Where did you bat?
Four.
Wow.
Four and five.
We're dealing with a heavy hitter here. I mean, shortstop, four spot, that's like A plus.
Because I want to be in control, and shortstop is in control.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's mine. Nope, that's mine. Get out of my way.
Yeah. I was left field. I patrolled the center field and left field. I also went through a phase where I wanted to be, obviously, a professional athlete, and I would take sunflower seeds and stack them in the corner of my mouth and spit them out like a lady.
I remember in high school, I don't know if you remember Colorado Silver Bullets.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, I so wanted to. I was like, oh, when I get of age, I'm going to try out for that team. And then they
folded. It was like a semi-pro women's softball league. That
baseball.
Or baseball league.
Yeah, because I remember they played at Fenway before.
Did you ever have the beef jerky that came in?
The Big League Chew?
It was a beef jerky, but it was super shredded, and it came in a little can that it looks like skull. I used to put it on the inside of my lip and pretend that I was like some big, like when I played Little League.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I'm going to have to find some for you.
I will never put beef jerky in my mouth, but
right.
I would like to take a picture of it.
I was going to say, like, that was me. That was hot stuff in right field,
so
though.
You did.
Yeah. Right field.
Yep.
Right. Listen, now right field is like very, like, you got to put one of your best in right field.
Well, yeah, right field in fast pitch softball is huge because you can throw the runner out at first.
Yeah.
So,
Julia, you never know.
Just standing out there.
You're just standing out there picking daisies.
In Little League, right field is not good.
Yeah. You're like, I used to do like growing up, like I just like on like the playground, we play like a lot of kickball, and no, just because of, I don't know, you had to like have one female captain and one, you know, or one girl captain, one boy captain, just to like sort of try to make it even. And of course, I'd be like, ladies, I got this. And because no one cared except for me. And so I remember like all the girls, if it wasn't me that was like the captain, they would be like, you know, let's say it was like Marcy was the captain. And she'd be like, Jane. And then there would be like second pick. And it would be like, nice. It would be like Susan. And she'd pick all like her girlfriends. Oh my God, we got a picture of the Big League Chew.
The guy on it looks like he's
an
from The Simpsons.
Prospector.
Yeah.
An old prospector.
Who obviously has no teeth.
Yeah, because he's eating beef jerky and shoving it in his teeth. Oh boy. Anyway, the whole point of that stupid story is that when I got up there and I was the captain of the kickball, I'd be like, Bobby, David, Mark, I want to win. I'm not picking the girls. Are you out of your mind? Aaron, why didn't you pick me? I'm like, because you're horrible.
When you
right field, get out there.
When you weren't captain, were you usually picked first?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was
they'd
picked
always
first.
Pick the guys.
Yeah, they'd always pick the guys and then be like,
all
right,
girl.
I got to pick a woman. And I was like half boy, half girl. So they're like, get up there, Aaron/Eric. And then, of course, you know, I went from there. These are riveting childhood stories. Absolutely riveting. And we're back. Okay, so you played college ball. And then tell us about this fun web series. It's called Three Strikes.
Yes.
I don't know if you know it, the title of your own web series. I literally was like, tell us about your web series. And then I started talking. Sorry.
Thank you for reminding me what it was called. So it's based on not just softball, but my life in sports in general, because I also played tennis and basketball.
Oh, well, we need to talk about that.
And bowling and soccer.
Bowling, soccer.
So it's just kind of based on that, because most of those are all team sports, so they all have that same dynamic, even if it's, you know, not softball. But mostly it's kind of based on the 6 years I spent coaching high school softball at my high school.
Oh, my God, this is awesome.
Right after I graduated college.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, high school girls.
Yeah.
Enough said.
The worst.
Yeah.
But we have time to fill, so you have to keep talking.
Oh, no. Yeah, I will. Well, let's just say this. I think you can appreciate it. My first year of coaching, I would go home after every practice and drink. That was the first year. And then I was just like, I can't keep doing that. Like, I can't drink after every practice.
Was there like a fall off, or like was it just stress? Were the girls good?
Some were really good. Yeah. Some were athletes and wanted to play and be there. Others were there because their parents were making them.
Right.
Some just didn't care, and you know, I'm just intense and I want to win. I'm competitive. And I'm just I physically want to force you to go run after that ball.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, cell phones weren't a thing when I was in high school, but now it's just they're at practice on their cell phones.
Oh.
Calling out.
Forget it.
A practice for lame excuses.
That must have been so difficult. Like, you know, because like if you're dealing with like college, right? Well, you think, you know, obviously you probably get like maybe a quarter of a team or half the team that takes it as seriously as you do. But in college, you feel like, yeah, even D3, like I played D3, but like you wanted to be there. And you aren't getting, like you're not getting a free education. So you have to be seriously committed because you have to balance so much. Plus, my coach thought she was Pat Summitt. I'm like, no, you're not even close. You're actually just, you actually just scream. And we don't win.
In a pantsuit.
That's in a horrible salmon-colored pantsuit. Don't you think there should be a fashion designer for women's coaching?
Definitely.
I mean, listen, I'm not saying you have to, like, rock a skirt or whatever. Like, I'd rather commit hari-kari than wear a skirt. But you can't give me, like the Kim Mulkey Baylor, like light green pants, like you're like, oh, Kim.
Well, the thing about baseball and softball, though, is, I mean, especially in major leagues, they dress like the players.
Yeah.
So in high school and college, it was just, you know, wind pants and a jacket. So I mean,
oh, yeah,
it
so that's perfect.
Look,
yeah.
Yeah, it didn't look weird.
It is pretty funny. Like, I always think about that, like how baseball managers wear the uniform. It's just like this giant child in the dugout. It's pretty awesome. Like, that's the only thing, it makes sense, but like every time I look at it, I'm like, hockey, they're in a suit. They're in a suit behind all these hockey players. Basketball, they're in a suit. Every single, then you look in a dugout and the guy's like, ready to jump in. And he's the coach. It always makes me laugh.
One of these days, I'm just waiting to see Mike Socha back on the field.
Oh my God. He looks like he's about to run out.
Don Zimmer was ready to mix it up. Always.
Always Don Zimmer. I'll never forgive Pedro for throwing that man to the ground. Oh, Pedro, what a dick. I mean, of course, he was really good. But anyway, we can talk.
Who's being inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, that's the end of the show. Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on.
I only know that because I'm going to the Red Sox game the day after he's inducted, and we're getting a replica plaque.
Wow.
So I get my own Pedro Martinez replica plaque.
And are you going to smash it or use it as a coaster?
I will put it in a shadow box and put it on my wall.
Okay, before we go into Yankees Red Sox, which is obviously where it's headed, tell me about I wanted to talk to you more about the coaching. So, how do you literally, like, I always thought about coaching, like, how do you take, you're obviously a very successful competitive person, and then you start coaching. First of all, yeah, I would be drinking. Also, how do you not just drop the F-bomb and like start screaming?
Oh, I did.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, all the time.
And that was acceptable.
Well, during practices, not during a game.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, the first year I was just out of college, so I was only 4 years older than
the
oldest.
I was going to say,
oldest.
You were a kid yourself.
Yeah. So, and which actually I think helped because I could relate to any of the bullshit they were throwing at me.
Yeah.
I was like, I was just where you were.
Yeah.
I know you're full of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But then when we were, okay, all right, sorry. Julie was just giving us a little promo, but we all have, I'm too overtired to do two things at once. But all right, so you start coaching, and then did you also have to deal with like insane parents?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously you have not seen the web series, because that isn't.
Well, I've seen a couple of the episodes.
That is one of the characters, is the overbearing mom of the pitcher.
Oh yeah.
Who
knows everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are definitely those.
So what? Give me some stories.
Like
what did you have to deal with?
Well, it's just the constant nagging from behind. Of you know, you'll yell out, you know, so and so, move in, move this way, and then right after you finish, the parent behind you is like, no, stay where you are. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
They're literally like coaching over you. oh my God, my blood just like started boiling just hearing that. And so what did you, could you turn around and be like, hi, Mrs. Dawkins, shut the fuck up.
I would give a look and then I never really said anything afterwards. I just used this as my outlet, the web series. But it's just like, I like, what can you say? Because in this day and age, the player, their kid is always right.
Yeah.
Even in school, you can't do anything because the parents are going to come and...
And that's why we're developing an entire nation and generation after generation of horrible people.
Yeah.
Spoiled, horrible people. We're not, they're not all winners. Am I the only one that thinks this way?
Not everyone should get a trophy.
No, I mean, it's unacceptable for a coach to scream out, no, don't, like, to go the over parent, the, like, the or the parent to go over a coach. Like, that's insane. That's totally unacceptable.
Well, and then you have stuff that you can't witness, but you know once they go home after a game or after practice, their parents are saying, oh, this is what you should have done and all this stuff. So when the child comes back the next day, it's just you can't even get through to them because they're just going to listen to what their parents say.
I don't know.
So it's like, why even bother?
I would literally like hold, I would have to hold like a meeting with all the parents and being like, here's what's happening. I make a dollar. I'm here for your kids. This is my job. Please let me, I would be like, everybody write down your profession, your address, what you do during the day. I will show up to your accounting office and tell you how to crunch numbers. Would that be fun, looking over your shoulder?
Don't forget to add the one.
Yeah. Hey, hey, how about that? Would that, like, you know what I mean? That's why you feel like it's just so, it's crazy. And then you hear all these horrible stories of, like, parents kicking the crap out of, like, running onto the field, beat downs, like, maybe not in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, but who knows?
I never witnessed that. If anyone was going to do that, probably would have been me.
Yeah. So tell me about your temper.
I was just very passionate and competitive. I don't know what people are talking about.
Did you ever? Did you ever get like? Did you ever get in trouble?
Technically in college, but for other issues, not for a temper. No, I. It was usually after the game. I did throw things occasionally.
Yeah.
But I never got suspended.
Like Paul O'Neill, take the cooler and throw it around the dugout.
Maybe a helmet or a bat. I don't know. Yeah. Not a water cooler.
Yeah.
But I never got suspended for my anger.
Okay.
It was usually my parents that got the brunt of it after.
Okay. So you'd scream at them when you got home.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good working relationship.
Well, as my mom likes to say, is like whenever we would see each other after the game, whether I drove home with them or drove myself, it was just like they couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because then I'd just be like, oh, well, I made an error or no, we lost.
Yeah.
And so it was just ride quietly for however long it took to get home until I just cooled down and got over it.
Oh, yeah. I would do the, I would do the same thing. Yeah. I like when people say it's just a game. When they go, hey, Aaron, it's just a stupid, it's a stupid fantasy league. I'm like, okay. Is it a stupid fantasy league? Okay. I've color coded Google spreadsheets. It's actually not. Sometimes I have to try to calm myself. I think what it is like, When you play in your, you know, you play your whole life, like you're never going to lose that competitiveness and that love and that like fire. And now that it's transferred over into my watching of sports, like I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you watched any of the March Madness, but the final game, Duke was playing Wisconsin, and I hate Duke, and I love Wisconsin.
I love Duke.
Great. And wow. And it's not like. It's not like I have a problem with Duke. I really love Wisconsin, right? And Duke had won so many times that I was like, you know, cheering for someone else. And I get so invested into it and I get so like crazy about it that like at some point during the game, I was like, okay, Aaron, you have to calm down. I was trying to like detach myself from the team. Like that's how insane it gets. I'm like, you'll have to assume at some point Duke is probably going to win this game, and you have work to do after the game,
and you
need
to
calm down. I've been to Wisconsin so many times, though. That's where I got my little my passion for Madison because I love that town. But yeah, then you get attached, and it becomes ridiculous. But yeah, I know my parents could never calm me down. Like, especially after like basketball, that was like my main sport. Like I'd get so riled up and they'd be like, Aaron, you know, you had a really good game. Like my dad was like really into stats, you know, And he's like, you're averaging 25 a game. You got six boards. And I was just like, yeah, but in the third quarter when we needed that bank shot, like, you know what I mean? I'd always pick out. It's like now when I do stand-up comedy, the entire crowd will be like, we'll be on the same page. It'll be so fun. And one dude will be looking at me with his arms crossed. I'm like, what? And then you just spin out about that dude. Is it called anxiety? Is that what it is? Is that the problem I'm having? Do you ever play softball tournaments back to back and then you go to bed and you wake up in the middle of the night and you think you're still playing?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Is that called anxiety? Do I have anxiety?
Stress strain?
No, because we'd have those softball tournaments.
Yeah,
you
triple
know,
headers.
You triple headers.
Yeah.
And then I'd go to bed and I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I have a twin sister, and we shared a room, and she'd be like, what are you doing? And I would, like, jump on the bed, like, you know, outfield, like, thinking I was catching a ball. And Megan's like, Aaron, and I'd be like, what? She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, no, no. It's crazy.
I don't know if I did that, but in high school, I used to work at Wendy's, and I would do the salad bar and make all the salads.
Yeah.
And I did that so many times that I, in my sleep, I would wake up, open my bedroom door, and pretend like I was putting salads in the refrigerator.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And then go back to bed. So is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, I love that though. I love those. Another reason why I can't stand Barrington is because when we were playing soccer, and everyone in like South Kingstown, they didn't care about any other sport but soccer. It was just soccer, soccer, soccer. And they were state champs like repeatedly.
I hear Portsmouth has a good soccer program.
Portsmouth was always very hard to play because of the field, because it was right on the water. It was Rogers. That was Rogers. Wasn't there Rogers High School right there in Portsmouth? Or maybe it was
Rogers
Portsmouth.
Rogers is Newport.
Okay, so it was Rogers, because Rogers Field played right on the water in Newport. I mean, it was gorgeous, but the weather conditions were so bad. Like, the wind would whip up, and I was goalie, and I'd be like, I'm going to get scored on seven times by just, like, the wind. And it was so stressful, but Barrington was always so good, and they were our biggest rival. And I remember senior year, I was goalie, because I couldn't keep up. Like, their feed skills were, like, too much. So I was like, all right, I'll just catch everything. And it was my birthday, and the level, it was like one of the first games, and Barrington like scored on me immediately. And I was, you know, if you have those life moments in sports and in life where you legitimately can remember it like it was yesterday, because it was fear, like, or happy or whatever it is. But like those moments in sports where you're like, I was legitimately crapping my pants. Like I was like on the last line of defense, like. And I remember it was against Barrington. And then halftime, my coach came up to me and he was like, you got to get it together. Like, it was one of those like moments in coaching, which I'm sure you've had, where you pull a player over and you're like, you hand it to them. But like in a inspirational / like get it together moment. And it literally changed. It changed the game. It changed me as like, I think, a person. And it gave me like this confidence of like, wait a minute, I can totally do this. Have you ever had a moment like that as a player or a coach?
Definitely as a coach. I don't know if it was with individuals, but there was definitely a few times as the team where I would give inspirational diatribes in my own kind of unique voice.
Yeah.
Because there was one time we were playing Tiverton, which was just their neighbor on the other side. And I guess they were the big rivals when I was coaching. We hadn't won a game at all. I think we were five games into the season, and we were probably supposed to be one of the best teams. And
oh,
so,
wow.
I was like, what the fuck is going on? We should be winning. So I pulled them all over before the game we were playing at Tiverton, and there had just been these, not rumors, but they would always joke that I was dating the reporter for the Daily News, the sports reporter. And so before that Tiverton game, I called everyone over really serious, and I was just like, hey guys, I don't know if you've heard, maybe you have, but I just want you to hear it from me. But Josh and I are getting married, so I would just appreciate, you know, you just letting us just ride this out for a second. And the look on all their faces was like, oh my God, we thought you were going to say you had cancer or something. And then it relaxed them all, and we ended up winning.
Nice. Nice, nice
moment.
So
I think I'm a pretty good coach.
Okay, so all this, you took all this fuel and stories and you made it into a web series.
Yes.
Which everyone needs to watch. Where can we see this web series?
You can see it at the website www.3strikestheseries.com. That is the number 3.
Nice. 3strikestheseries.com.
Yes.
And it's about you coaching. Well, tell us about the premise.
So basically, I play a professional soccer player who gets suspended from her team because of anger issues. not based in reality at all. I say it's not because I didn't play professionally. Everything else is true. My character goes back, was forced to go into anger management therapy, has to move back home with her parents, which I did do after college, and then coach at her old high school. And the team is not good.
Some of those girls are hilarious.
Yeah.
They're fun. Like a couple of them are like, I like the ones that just don't even remotely care.
Yeah.
those are the best.
Yeah, all of the
And that woman you have to report to. What is she, like the counselor at the high school or something? Or the anger management?
Yeah, all of the players are kind of based on real people I knew from either having coached or played with. But they're also kind of just amalgamation of the actors themselves. Because, like, all right, I know exactly what kind of character you can play well. And then, oh, that's just like that girl I coached.
Yeah. And how did you start the whole, like, web series? Like, how did you get it off and running?
Well, I mean, just as an actor, it's like you can't just sit around waiting for people to give you roles. So I was like, oh, even when I was coaching, I was like, oh my God, I got to do something with this. I could already tell there was just so much there. And then I just got to a point, I'm like, all right, well, I'll just write my own thing. And I didn't know if it was going to be like a book or a movie. And I was like, I'll just do a web series.
Yeah, that's so fun. And when you were coaching in Portsmouth, were you like an actor as well? Mm-hmm. Like, okay. So you're doing like Rhode Island stuff.
Yeah, I'd go up to Boston a lot for auditions, go to New York for improv, go to UCB.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, everybody watch this web series. It's super fun. And now we have to talk about Boston Yankees, just briefly, and then other fun sports stories. Oh, yeah, the Fierce logo. That's coming up, you guys. It's an awesome story. So we always joke around because I'm from New York, then I lived in Connecticut, and I lived in Western Connecticut, so it was all New York channels. So I'm like an all New York crazy sports fan. But then when I moved to Rhode Island, it was Boston, Boston, Boston. And I went to Fenway Park for probably, I don't know, 12 years before I went to Yankee Stadium. So I have a sweet appreciation for Fenway, not the Red Sox. But of course, I would have been like the biggest Red Sox fan. The one team that I have trouble saying out loud as the Patriots. hold on.
I feel like they just won something, right? Did that happen? I don't remember.
In a way.
You're breaking hearts.
In a way. I just had a traumatic day on Facebook. Let's not bring up the Super Bowl. But Red Sox, I love Fenway Park. It's a great stadium.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
There's nothing bad to say except for the people that play in it. No, I'm kidding. But it feels like as of late, the Red Sox Yankees rivalry is just kind of like, meh. It'll get back to heightened times. But those, when I was in New York, maybe because we're out here and it's like, I don't know, people like the Dodgers, but no one really gives a crap. It's not like East Coast insanity.
I every day I'm still surprised when I don't randomly hear someone go, Yankees suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just kind of expect that. And
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like maybe that rivalry was kind of dissipated when the Red Sox won.
Yeah.
Because it feels like ever since then, we're on even playing field.
Yeah, well, let's not get ahead of yourself. But you have come a long way. You have come a long way. I feel like I blamed myself because during that series in, what year was that when you guys won? 2003?
Was it 2004. 2003 was the Aaron Boone home
run. The greatest. That was the only playoff game I ever went to because I had like a dollar and I had I'd go to so many games, you know, you take the subway, $7-$8 bleacher seats, whatever, when it was affordable. But the playoffs come the Yankee playoffs. It was like, you know, $100, like now I'd spend any amount of money because I'm actually, you know, employed and doing well. But back then, you know, you're in your 20s. It's like you had a dollar and $100, $200 for a ticket would just be, it would be like $1 million now. And so I never got to any playoff. I've watched every single game my whole life, and I never went to a playoff game. the one playoff game I went to was the Aaron Boone game. And it was crazy because I was sitting in a section of Pennsylvania, like three rows of Pennsylvania, like minors. Like, it was like this blue collar insanity of all these like big rough dudes. It was like a friend of mine's dad's ticket or something. And then these idiots, this family that came in like the third inning and left in the seventh, and they weren't even paying attention. We all hated them collectively because they weren't even paying. They just had money. They were just like, you know, it was like money tickets. But
something
yeah.
fun to do on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
night.
I literally was like, you're not even taking this. Like, it was game seven. You know what I mean? Like, forget it. I had my New York Giants scarf on. Someone had like a Babe Ruth shirt on. My friend had Lucky, his guitar picks. Everyone was like touching. Like, it was. The game, it was like a game within a game, which was just super fun. But anyway, the 2004, when we were, what was it? Was three games to zero? It was three, mm-hmm. three games to zero. The reporting was so interesting to me because it was in Fenway, and the cameras would pick out like the three grandmothers that had, do you remember that? Like, that had been to every game since the turn of the century. They had never seen a win. And I remember saying, just because I have, you know, so many friends of mine that are Red Sox fans, and I have this connection to Fenway Park, and I always thought, God, if I grew up there, I would be like a crazy Red Sox fan, you know? And, you know, I said out loud, God, I just wish, I hope they win one game. Like, I hope they win this game. Like, it was in Fenway, and you just feel like as a fan, plus we had just won a whole bunch of championships. It's not good for baseball. And then I said it, and I just cursed us. And then I was like, oh, no, but I didn't want you to win the other one or that one. Or, okay, won four in a row.
So like, I should be thanking you.
Yeah, you should basically be thanking me because I cursed. I also did think I cursed the Giants when we beat the Patriots. The first time I screamed out, I don't care if we ever win again. This is the greatest night ever. And then we tanked the bed until we beat you guys again. But anyway, the point is.
That first Giants-Patriots Super Bowl with the helmet catch, that was on my birthday. Worst birthday ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was just
it was a good game.
It was bizarre. It was a bizarre sort of. But the only times the Giants can win are just when we get to the Super Bowl and we win to beat the Patriots. The rest of the time we just look like we shit the bed. We look horrible. It's always like a crazy catch. The only reason why I thought I loved that game so much, well, obviously because I'm a Giants fan, was I did feel like, and I know that, listen, I'm not taking anything away from the Patriots. You guys are a phenomenal team. It's just, it feels like there's part of the Patriots' lore, I think, is because they're your confidence. Like, you know what I mean? But I do think it borders on arrogance when you make 19-0 T-shirts. That's why my favorite T-shirt is an 18-1 T-shirt. That I wear around and no one knows what it means except for me.
Wait, real
and
quick,
Giants
why
fans.
Was that the worst birthday ever? You kind of snuck that in under
because
the radar.
The Giants beat the Patriots.
In the Super Bowl.
Oh, you made it sound like there was something else because of the game.
Oh, no, that's just that.
Okay, I was just checking because you went and like a...
If it was my birthday and the Patriots beat the Giants in the Super Bowl, I'd be like, worst birthday ever, for sure.
Yeah, why do you think I'm sitting here now? I thought that was very obvious.
that rivalry though, there's nothing like it. Aaron, what is Carl's Cardinals Cubs? What is the rivalry?
Cubs.
But let me ask you this.
But
real
we also
quick.
Got into a big brawl with the Reds about 3-4 years ago. I'm still upset.
I feel like if I was a Cardinals fan, I'd hate the Reds more than the Cubs. The Cubs are just like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like if the Cubs...
They're like a little league team.
I feel like if the Cubs got in and really made a legitimate push, everyone would cheer for them. Much like
Definitely.
I think a lot of people cheered for the Red Sox.
2004, yeah. Not 2007.
No. That was a horrible team. But the Cubs, I have to say, I picked... I have Fowler and Montero on my fantasy team. Simply because Madden is the coach. I feel like there's Madden magic. I fell in love with Madden. My parents are huge Tampa Bay Rays fans. And I do feel like if there is one dude that could turn a team around or like make a team better, and it would be Joe Madden. I think that dude is awesome. I think he's exciting.
He's way more hip than I am.
He's so hip. He brings like snakes and coyotes and wild birds into the dugout, and I'm not making this up. There's been so many moments on Sports Without Balls where I'm like, Madden brought in a rattlesnake, and then they win by like 8. Aaron, how are the Cardinals this year? Are they going to be good because they're every year they're good?
I think so, yeah.
Ugh, effing Cardinals. It's just put them in the playoffs.
We're the Spurs of baseball.
You are the Spurs of baseball.
We're just always there.
And a fantastic basketball transition. Thank you to Aaron.
You're welcome.
Here's a team I don't want to play in the NBA playoffs, the Spurs. They were dead to the water, and dead in the water, dead to the water. The water's like, they're dead to me, San Antonio. That happens in the Bible. Then all of a sudden they like 15 wins in a row. They're playing the Clippers. The Clippers, I will be going to the game Clippers-Spurs next Wednesday. Hey, did you go to the Dodgers last night?
I did.
Did they win?
They did, 5-2.
5-2, nice. I love going to see anything live. I haven't been to a Dodger game in a while. Were people paying attention?
For the most part, yeah. I guess apparently we were in the rowdy section, even though we were in the 100 level right behind first base. The section to the right of us, I kid you not, 6 beach balls throughout the game just came out, and they just hitting them around. Every time it fell to the lower deck, they just started booing.
I would pop it. There is no place for beach balls. It drives me insane. I don't want to hit a effing beach ball when I'm at a game.
This section loved it. I think it was the same person. It was just like every 10 minutes, one guy would shout out, "Hey, everyone, it's beach ball time," and just start.
I would have stood
around.
Up
Those
and been like, "I hate
you." Those are the same
people
who like Jimmy Buffett, though.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Julia.
He was wearing a very loud shirt.
Of course he was. And I bet he snuck in a wine cooler.
Probably.
What a douche.
Yeah.
I cannot handle, I've sat down so many Dodger games where the people next to me are like, tell me what's going on. I'm like, no, look what's going on. We are at a game, focus. I don't want to get caught up. And I don't want to hear other people getting caught up on their stupid scripts.
How do you feel about Cano? Robinson Cano, are you a fan?
Well, let me tell you how I feel about Robinson Cano. You know who's dead to me? Jay-Z. Jay-Z is dead to me. You claim that you're the biggest Yankee fan of all time? Really? Really? And you sign Cano, and where is Cano? Seattle. For what? A discrepancy of what, $10, $12 million? You know what that is? A fucking Subway commercial. That's what it is. You just needed to learn some English and then sell some shit. I can't.
He kind of had a mental lapse in the game last night.
Cano?
Yeah. He got picked off third because I think he thought the bases were loaded and just trotting home.
He has a lot of mental lapses, but I just loved him, and I thought, we're losing Jeter. We've got to keep Cano. He's like a backbone of the Yankees. He's someone that you just want to see. First of all, he is just one of the most beautiful fielders I've ever seen. Like, it's so smooth. He's so fun to watch. Oh, that's right. I can't watch him because of Jay-Z. Also, you stepping out on Beyonce? Beyonce not good enough for you? Beyonce, you wake up and you roll over and you see Beyonce and you're like, I can do better. I hate you. I know I've said this before, but if
part of the breakdown,
if I rolled over and I saw Beyonce, I would just start screaming every morning in excitement. I would wake up and go, yes, thank you. What I would say.
There's at least one section where Aaron talks about who she would either make out with or has to lobby for someone else to make out with them.
Yeah.
You know, like, why aren't you making out with that person? You know, like Giselle.
Oh, my God. That Giselle episode was ridiculous. I was at a birthday dinner last night, and the two people at the table worked with Charlize Theron. And I thought, I'm in. I am 1 degree away from having a full breakdown and 1 degree away from making out with Charlize Theron. They're like, Aaron, she's dating Sean Penn. Ah, who isn't? I'm so close. Let's talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves. Nope, I don't want to talk about them. I mean Milwaukee Bucks. A couple months ago, the Cleveland Browns announced that their dog was getting angrier. And their color orange was getting more orange. So Milwaukee decides The language is amazing. Milwaukee Bucks. First of all, Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs expected they were the worst team. Oh, God, I should fact check this. Carol, wake up from your Dayquil, NyQuil, lemonade mix elixir. I do believe, Aaron, Julia, Sarah. Was Milwaukee Bucks, weren't they the worst team in the league last year? Or, okay, bottom, basement dwellers.
Sure.
They are in the playoffs. Jason Kidd leaves the Nets weirdly, unexpectedly, goes to Milwaukee. The dude from, who's the dude from Duke that went down with like the Achilles or the broken leg or something? Not Randall in Kentucky for the Lakers, but the dude, or was it the guy that got shopped from Cleveland? Who am I thinking of? Jabari Parker. Thank you, Aaron. No one else. Three people staring at me. Jabari Parker.
The last time I watched basketball, John Stockton was playing.
Wow. You're up on current events, Sarah. John Stockton, now his son plays and his daughters play. His daughter is going to go to Gonzaga on a full scholarship. How do I know this? Because I spend too much time in this field. Someday someone will pay me for it. Okay, what the hell was I talking about? Okay, so the Bucks unexpectedly in the playoffs literally had like all these injuries. I think it proves that Jason Kidd honestly is a legitimate, honest, really good NBA coach. This is only his second year. I think he's already won the title of world's largest head. His head is huge. Everybody, if you want to just, I mean, I don't even remember when he was playing on the Nets and the camera would go over to his wife and his son. And I was like, oh, son's head's almost as big as Jason Kidd's head. And the kid was like two. Anyway, these are all good visuals. Go to Google Image. But Milwaukee Bucks have introduced a new logo that, what is it called? It's the Fiercer. They said it's a Fiercer logo. Sarah, talk us through the points.
Well, I just briefly read the article, but they're making him more fierce by having 12 points instead of 8.
It's a 12-point buck. Next year, they're going to be so fierce.
He's got white eyes, just solid white eyes.
He looks like he's a meth head. It looks like a meth fueled buck.
Like he's transitioning into the Hulk or something. Yeah. It's just those alien zombies.
It's
something
so
eyes.
Weird. And then they took out whatever color it was and they made
and
it a cream.
Yeah.
Oh, fierce. First of all, you can't say fierce unless you're a gay man. Like that is a word that's saved for drag queens, gay men, brunch in West Hollywood. Not the owner of the Milwaukee Buck. Who sits around a table? Like, they're doing well, right? Unexpectedly, they're in the playoffs. It's not the end of the season. It's not like you'd think, like, maybe you make this announcement in, you know, August before the start of the season. You have a couple weeks to go, or maybe even a couple games to go, and you unveil a new...
It says Fierce Deer.
Fierce Deer!
Bucks unveil new logo, Fierce Deer.
Fierce Deer. I mean, it's the funniest thing ever. Are the players like, oh, we should get up earlier and try harder? Now that we got 12 points, I got to really shoot from the outside. What is happening? It's hysterical. By the way, I did write this down in the beginning, the Fast and Furious Part 7. Has anybody in your life recommended this movie? About 10 people in the last 24 hours are like, Aaron, it's a solid movie. I don't get it. I'd rather discuss...
Do you need to have seen the first six?
I don't think so.
I've never seen any of them, so
supposedly,
I don't know.
They're good. Aaron, now 0 for 4 here. NBA playoffs. Sarah, sorry, I just interrupted you. Go ahead.
I know, I was going to say, I had two people tell me that they watched Furious 7 and cried at the end.
Yeah, apparently so it's an homage to Paul Walker, who was a beautiful man. All right, let's real quick... We've got a couple things going, and then...
Well, this was the old one. I'll post a photo of the both of them.
That's adorable.
Come on, the old one was kind of cute.
The old one was adorable, and I guess no one wants to describe their basketball team as adorable.
Probably not.
Here's what we got. Sure. All right, that's something. Real quick. Wait, you said you played soccer. Do you watch the women's team?
I played soccer up until third grade.
Okay. You're
no,
killing
it. No, it was past that. But did you watch the
Women's World Cup coming up?
You should watch it.
Okay. It's going to be amazing. I just bought World Cup soccer schedule. I'm performing in Toronto. Got tickets for the semifinals in Montreal. And then I'm trying to figure out how to get to Vancouver for $1.50.
When I was in Scotland performing at the Fringe Fest, I became a Celtic fan, the Scottish team.
Nice.
In Edinburgh, when they came over to play New England Revolution, I went.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Why didn't we talk about that in 10 seconds? 10 seconds ago. You're handing me a sign.
Well, a lot of times I try the sign because I'm hoping it would avoid me talking in that way.
Just talk. I know we have to wrap it up.
About 15, 20 minutes or so.
No.
Yeah.
We've already been on for an hour.
Well, you have as much to that time.
Just a couple more minutes, because after an hour, people tune out. People go, could Erin stop talking about her impending Facebook breakdown? I do think the Milwaukee Buck, what is it, Fierce Deer is the funniest thing ever. All right, here's what we got. Lots of stuff happening. Watch this fun stuff. We got NBA playoffs. I had a moment in the San Francisco airport where I stood in front of a Stephen Curry, I talk about Curry every week, jersey in the, like a little, you know, sports memorabilia kiosk where I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull it. I'm going to pull the trigger. I'm going to get a Curry jersey. And then, as I do every single time I'm about to buy a jersey, I think, too gay. And I step back and I don't get it. But I'm going to get a Curry soft V-neck. My Golden State boys, they're playing the Pelicans. They shouldn't have a problem with that. What they will have a problem with is Anthony Davis, because he's absolutely amazing. He plays on the Pelicans, and he's got the largest unibrow of all time. Google image. Okay, NBA playoffs. We've got the NHL playoffs. You watch hockey? Anybody here watch hockey?
Occasionally.
Let me tell you this. I'm going to go on record. NHL playoffs are the most exciting. They're so exciting. It's like all year round, I don't talk a lot about hockey. I watch hockey kind of sporadically. But when it comes to NHL playoffs, I think it's more exciting. I'll give you March Madness. Maybe I'll give you the finals of the NBA. Probably not. NHL playoffs, unbelievable. It's the best of the best. It's the pace is so exciting. The speed, the athleticism, it's amazing. It's literally, I could watch like the, you know, Canucks are playing the Flames. I'm like, Let's do it. Are my Rangers going to win? I hope. We're picked to win. Will we not? Maybe. We'll probably lose to Chicago in the finals. Anyway, exciting stuff. And also, WNBA draft tonight. It's Thursday night. Watch the draft. There was a little bit of a controversy because this is the first time in the WNBA that two women, one's a sophomore, one's a junior, left college early to play pro for $1.50. Why? 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 I don't know. It's all these articles now. Is it good for women's sports? The thing is, as a dude, you leave early. You leave as fast as you possibly can, and you start a checking account, and then you blow it in 5 years, and then you're on a 30 for 30. But women, I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, love of the game. I don't know.
If the men can do it, I can do it. But that's not smart.
So you've got Jewel Lloyd, right? She's one of the best players in college basketball on Notre Dame. Notre Dame loses to Connecticut just every year. Connecticut plays Notre Dame and Connecticut wins. It's so boring now. She's a junior. Can she play in the WNBA right now? Yeah. But like maybe for like 50 grand? Like maybe. And you forgo your senior season. Whatever that was, senior season in Notre Dame. I just think for me, it would be more fun to stay in college one more year, get your degree. You could honestly probably, Connecticut will have like maybe a little bit of a, like a, you know, won't be as good as this year. Maybe you win the whole thing. I don't know. What would you do?
I think I learned early on that being a professional athlete as a female wasn't really a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't stay in school.
Yeah.
Learn your trade so you can support your man.
Okay, that's amazing. Learn your trade so you can support your man. Holy shit.
Well, that's why you went to college in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. Doesn't Jewel Lloyd want to be a nurse or a teacher? This is ridiculous. I mean, I get it. Like, the NBA is super exciting, and then you could go overseas and play for Russia, and if you're the best of the best, you play for China, and you make a gazillion dollars. But I don't know. For me, I just think I would stay. But
well, how is she as a student? I mean, I guess if you're not good.
Yeah. And she'll go back and get her degree. I don't think it's about the degree. I just think again, how are you gonna learn those skills to make sure your husband's taken care of? Hold on 1 second. Just threw up a mouth. All right, feel good moment of the week. Did anyone do their taxes? I just wrote down I forgot tax day. I don't. It's irrelevant. April 15 come and goes. I'm like, maybe this year. I am single. Here we go. The feel-good moment of the week. We're keeping it in Rhode Island. This is a game I did not watch because I honestly completely forgot it was on. And then I watched highlights and I teared up. Providence College. Feel-good moment of the week. Beats Boston University. Providence College in hockey. Its first Frozen Four championship ever of all time. They were the underdogs. They beat Boston. And I know you have a love of Boston, but I'm assuming your love of Providence
is greater.
Is greater. John, it might be Giles Gillies, G-I-L-L-E-S. This dude, he's the goalie for Providence. You have to go back as a sports fan and just watch some of the saves. 49 saves. He did a save in the last minute of the game. You know, that's like the craziness about hockey. It's so great. Like third period, the other team's down by one. They pull the goalie. It's like this absolute frenzy. This dude made a save that was pro level, just signed a 3-year contract to Calgary. Calgary Flames. So exciting. Feel good moment of the week. Providence takes it. Rhode Island shout out. I love it. Go back and watch those saves.
I will.
What's next for you? Are you going to make another web series? Are you going to coach? Are you gonna?
I'm never coaching again.
Spoken like a true coach.
6 years was enough. So I'm still debating doing season two.
Yeah.
Because I have a story I want to tell. Just depends on viewership and money.
I think it would be so fun to do a second season.
This is a whole other episode, but it was such a 2-year journey to get that made that I was just like, I can't look at this.
Yeah.
You know, so I it's nice having this time away and just being able to enjoy it as a show and not as a producer.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Writer.
You wrote, produced, starred it. I don't know how you did it. Congratulations. Yeah. That's huge.
I drank a lot.
Oh, yeah. Please.
But other than that, I'm just writing other pilots. And
nice. Fantastic. And tell us the website again for the web series.
For Three Strikes, it's threestrikestheseries.com, the number 3. And then we're also on Twitter, Three Strikes Series, and Facebook, Three Strikes The Series.
Sweet. And then Julia will post everything.
Look in the description. You can just click on it.
Click on
Perfect.
It. And then boom, there's the link. People of America, I will be in Bloomington, Indiana with my new religious freedom joke. It's going to be amazing. Thursday, April 30th, May 1st and May 2nd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Comedy Attic. It's one of my favorite comedy clubs. Then I'll be doing some shows in D.C. in May. The end of May, I'm at the Parlor with Bridget Everett, who's amazing. She's this rock star in New York City. And we're doing some shows at the Parlor in Seattle. That is, I think, like 26th, 27th, 28th. Check your local listings, which is erinkfoley.com. I will stay in Seattle 2 extra days. Sunday, the Mariners are playing the Cleveland Indians. Monday, the Mariners are playing the Yankees. And I've never been to the Seattle Stadium, so I'm super excited. My first Nationals game.
Safeco's a good time.
Safeco's a great time. I mean, so I've heard. I can't wait. I'll see Robbie Cano and scream out, why? Why? It's going to be fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on and being a guest. Come back.
Thank you for having me.
Julia, Erin, thank you so much. Thank you to All Things Comedy for hosting us and being so supportive. Good luck out there, people. Sports Without Balls fans, have the best week of your life.